Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond.
It's funny we moved this episode because of timing and everything, but this was supposed to be the fitness episode release.
Yeah.
So it's funny that we released barbecue on the fitness day.
Yeah.
You know, so today's barbecue on today's episode, which isn't that bad of a health thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're one of those meat eater kind of situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell me, Zach, what's the one food you will wait in line for?
The one food that I will wait in line for, you know, barbecue is definitely on the list. I think probably Chef's Market is definitely on the list too. If there's a line, I'm still going to wait for that. What about you?
You know, I'm in agreement. Barbecue's always going to be my one. I've got my favorite restaurant here in
good
this
barbecue.
Area. Yeah, good barbecue. And there's always a line at my favorite restaurant here. So yeah. And then of course, Nashville's known for barbecue and hot chicken. So this is an easy question for me to answer, but for you, what do you prefer?
You know, I do love spice a lot. I do really like spicy food. And there's such great hot chicken here in Nashville, and that's something that it's known for. There's such a history here with it. It's probably a flip of a coin for me, honestly.
Wow.
It depends on, because, you know, the barbecue is great, and especially when it's seasoned well and it's got a good crust on the outside of it. But I do really like spicy chicken.
Yeah, when we do the hot chicken episode one day, you can talk about all that because you've got some challenges for me you want to do, and I'm going to hate that episode, but I'm going to do it for you because I love you. I'm an absolute barbecue person. I would eat it every day of the week if I had to.
Yeah,
so, but you know, that's I love barbecue spots, and you know, I always love Shotgun Willie's here.
Yeah,
is one of my very favorite barbecue spots. So yeah.
Yeah, so before we bring somebody in today, because we do have a special guest, let's talk a little bit about barbecue. Let's talk about what we like about barbecue. We'll probably talk about sides, I'm sure. So what is your go-to barbecue meat?
I waffle between ribs and brisket and pulled pork based off where it's from. If I'm in East Tennessee, we used to have them here in Nashville called Calhoun's, and the ribs to me are just exceptional. Pulled pork, Jack's Barbecue. If I'm walking in there, I want that pulled pork. Last week, though, I had their chicken for the first time, Zach.
Oh, was it good?
Yes. I was surprised. I'd never had it, but I was like, I got to be careful. I don't want to overeat. And I had their chicken there. So now Jack's chicken's on my list of great things.
Nice.
But when it comes to brisket, again, you're going to hear me say it over and over again. It's just Shotgun Willie's. You just can't beat it. So those, it's a tough question for me, but that's where I lean. How about you?
For me, definitely pulled pork is at the top of the list. I think ribs is a close second. I can't say that I'm a fan of brisket. I know brisket's wonderful and people love it. And
I still
and
love
good
you
for
the
them.
Same, yeah.
Thank you for still loving me in spite of.
In spite of.
But yeah, for me, it's definitely pulled pork, especially when, like I said, it's got a good crust on it and it's cooked really well.
Well, I think probably one of the biggest questions in barbecue, and I don't know if we agree on this or not, is sauce. Because I'm going to tell you, and again, for our North Carolina listeners, I can't stand your barbecue. I can't stand it. And you're a big Witz fan, which is very North Carolina-based, and that vinegar-based yuck.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm a Kansas City barbecue sauce guy. Yeah. I want that sweet, smoky, rich, almost black barbecue sauce.
Yeah, for me, sauce is the boss. You know, I think... even having just average barbecue meat can be rectified with great sauce. and there are some offenders of that here in town. But, you know, I do love a vinegar sauce. But for me, sweet sauce is definitely where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely
wasn't
love
expecting
a sweet
that.
Sauce. When I go, there's a place in town that I go get barbecue at sometimes that's not Shotgun Willie's, although I do love to go to Shotgun Willie's.
Martin's.
It's actually Barbecutie.
Or Barbecutie, okay.
They have a sauce flight on every table.
Sauce flight.
Yeah.
So bougie for Barbecutie.
Well, yeah, but they've got, you know, they got like six bottles and they're all different kinds of sauces. Mm-hmm. And I'll always end up mixing the sweet sauce with the hot sauce that you have to get from behind the counter because it has to stay refrigerated because it's got like peppers and stuff in it. And if it sits out, then it'll go bad. I'm always end up mixing those sauces together because there's this balance of sweet and hot that I really like. So
And that's what I think I like about Jack's. Also, they've got those old, you know, those Arby pumps you used to have?
Yeah.
Those Arby's. Yeah. And so you pump that into your little cup. Well, Jack's has that. And they've got this warmer below. So they've got like these six sauces.
Yeah.
They've changed, though, to now where they have this sign up top. So talking about sauce, we'll talk about restaurants later. But, you know, you can pump your favorites in, and they've got that whole buffet of sauce in there, which I love. I'm going to stay all this on side. So I want to go ahead and get this side out of the way and talk coleslaw. Because that's the one statement I always make when I say, I hate this more than coleslaw. I hate coleslaw. So you talk about slaw, and then I'll talk about other
stuff. I love coleslaw.
I know.
And there are so many different ways to make coleslaw. You can have thin cuts. You can have short cuts. You can have larger cuts. The more variety of color that you get in the slaw that you put into it is better. There's vinegar-based coleslaw, which I don't like.
Stop
there's
looking at me for affirmation. Don't even go look at this sound guy. I'm not going to nod.
There's mayonnaise-based coleslaw, which I love, 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 love. You know, coleslaw to me, it's the, especially when you have something so rich and salty and the umami flavor that barbecue and meat has in general. For me, it's great to have that creamy, light, sometimes acidic coleslaw to balance that out. I'll eat it on the sandwich. I'll have it with pickles on the sandwich. I'll eat it by itself as a side, a big bowl of it. KFC actually has some
That's
really
what I was
good
about
coleslaw.
To say. My trauma with slaw started with KFC. This is my segue.
Okay.
Because it started in Clinton, Tennessee with coleslaw at KFC because it looked like garbage juice to me. And I remember eating it. And I thought, okay, well, because KFC was bad, I'll try it again in life. But anyway, go ahead. I hate KFC.
Yeah. So coleslaw is definitely something that I'll eat. Obviously, it's something you won't eat. One of my other favorite sides, and I have lots because I just love to eat, especially barbecue, because all the sides with it are great. But it's got to be baked beans,
and I don't like those either.
Having a good, like a cowboy baked bean, especially one that's got like either pieces of pork or bacon or even ground beef in it, is just wonderful when it's creamy and smoky and thick. You know, we went to some restaurant recently that called what they were serving baked beans. It was not baked beans. It was more like a bean soup. Because all the beans were like, you know, just like dripping, like you had just rinsed them off and then put them back in their baked bean juices. And it just wasn't appetizing at all. So it's got to be creamy and rich for me.
So while you're a coleslaw and bean guy, I'm a mac and cheese guy.
Oh, I love mac and cheese too. Don't get me wrong.
So when it comes to when I'm looking at barbecue and I'm getting my sides, because coleslaw and baked beans are already automatically out for me. So that limits me sometimes.
Sure.
So for me, you know, I want to ask you creamy or what's the other word for creamy? If it's not creamy mac and cheese, what's the other one? Dry, baked, or what is it?
Baked. Yeah. Baked.
Okay. So for me, I like both.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to lean more toward the creamy side, while when I bake macaroni and cheese myself, I do the baked, drier kind.
Yeah.
But when I'm eating it out, I want creamy for that.
Yeah, well, a PSA to everyone out there who makes mac and cheese, especially if you make it in a restaurant, white cheddar mac and cheese is not real mac and cheese. Mm. Please use yellow cheese, sharp cheddar, Gouda. But this white mac and cheese that I see that comes out on a plate, sometimes I'm like, I want something yellow and creamy. And white mac and cheese to me is just, it's a cop out.
And now we're probably going to lose a lot of listeners on this next question on cornbread. Because cornbread in the South is a very dividing factor amongst families. I have seen families separate over this. And that's the question of sweet or non-sweet cornbread.
Right.
So I'm going to let you answer first to be bold and brave.
You know, I've had so many different cornbreads in my life. I mean, growing up in the South, as most Southerners do, every person in your family that cooks, whether it's a maternal or a paternal figure, they all have their own cornbread recipe and their own way of making it. Some people use, you know, the Jiffy cornbread mix. Some people make it from scratch. Some people, you know, put honey or honey butter on it. Mm. Some people use it more as a salty kind of thing. I like both. Yeah. But my preference is for it to be more of a salty dish as opposed to like a dessert cake cornbread.
So savory, more of a savory guy. Yeah, and this is where most people will probably unfriend me on Facebook and unfollow me, as I'm a sweet guy. I want my sweet cornbread.
Shame.
I know. I grew up on the savory cornbread.
Yeah.
And everybody loved it. My mom makes some of the best cornbread you've ever had. But I just, I'm a sweet cornbread guy all the way around.
Well, when it comes with honey butter, that's even better because then you get the best of both worlds.
I agree. And speaking of sweetness, I mean, you know, when I grew up, I did not have birthday cakes. I had banana puddings because that was my favorite. So for me, you know, banana pudding is a must. I remember we were at California on a vacation as a family, and we went to a barbecue restaurant, and they didn't have banana pudding.
Yeah.
And you and Mike and me were all like, what?
Yeah.
There's no banana pudding. Yeah. So banana pudding is you know, the ebony and ivory that go together in harmony for that. So I could do a whole episode just on banana pudding.
We may. Yeah. We may one day.
So for me, banana pudding goes hand in hand with this. You know, Barbecue has good banana pudding.
It does. Yeah, they really do.
I'm a big believer in banana pudding should not have artificial banana flavoring pudding. I think it should be a vanilla pudding. So they've got really good, but I think many in the family will agree, my banana pudding I make is spectacular.
Yeah, you do make really good banana pudding.
But the big question becomes, do you like cold banana pudding or hot banana pudding?
You know, I love cold banana pudding, absolutely. I can't say actually that I've ever had hot banana pudding before.
I'm gonna make it for you.
I know it's probably like a baked kind of banana pie or meringue-y kind of dish. But for me, banana pudding, definitely, you know, I'm okay with artificial banana pudding flavor and vanilla pudding being mixed in together. Bananas, actually, like raw whole bananas, I can't eat because they upset my stomach. And so I have to be very careful about when I'm eating banana pudding that I just focus on the parts that don't have real banana in it. Because if I eat too much of the real banana, my tummy hurts.
Well, you know, I don't care what anybody says. You know, barbecue isn't complete without the sides.
It's not. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if banana pudding's on the menu, that's happening no matter what order. Yeah. And Micah's with us on that one. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but when people think about banana or when people think about Nashville food, they think hot chicken, but barbecue is quietly right up there with it in Nashville for sure. We've got places like Martin's. We have places like Edley's. I know some people pronounce it differently.
I love Peg Leg Porker.
Yeah, Peg Leg Porker. We've talked about Barbecue, Jack's, Witt's. There's so much barbecue here in Nashville.
Well, it's funny that Barbecue is like the old school place.
Yeah.
And that you, Mom and Dad love it. Your Mimi and Papa love it.
It's close to their house.
Well, and their theme is get your booty to the Barbecue.
It's such a cute slogan.
And when I think about Barbecue, I think about old Nashville. I think about the, you know, those were the Opry stars. You go over the walls and there's just full, the Donald location, the Madison location, just full of that. And we can't forget, what's the place? Dickie's down in Cool Springs.
Yeah, Dickie's.
We haven't talked about that at all.
We haven't.
And it's a chain, but my gosh.
We eat there
good.
Every time we're down there. And they've got the big yellow cups, and I've got like four of those big yellow cups in my pantry right now from all the times I've been there.
And barbecue in Nashville has we have the hip, cool barbecue places like Edley's and Martin's.
Yeah.
And then we've got the food truck places that feel like, you know, just on the street.
Yeah.
Then what's that one called? Holy Smoke.
Holy Smokes, yeah.
Yeah, that food truck. And then you've got the restaurants like Shotgun Willie's, and I would put, several other restaurants in that local feel.
Uh-huh.
And then we have some that feel kind of high-end. So whatever your barbecue taste is here in Nashville, you're going to be able to find whatever level you want there.
Yeah, and, you know, we live here in Madison, and about 2 years ago, a new establishment or a new location opened up for a very established name here in town, Shotgun Willie's. It's one of the closest barbecue places to us.
Yep.
I think there's a Witt's that's maybe a little bit closer, but you don't like Witt's, and most of our family doesn't like Witt's. And
Barbecue's close, yeah.
Barbecue's really close as well, but Shotgun Willie's, I didn't discover Shotgun Willie's until last year when they moved over into that location, and I thought it was just some new concept, and then I've been with you several times, and I've learned their story. And what are your thoughts on Shotgun Willie's and how it ranks amongst barbecue?
Yeah, I mean, I'm part of the Foodies of Nashville Facebook group. If you're not part of the Foodies group, anytime you go into that Foodies group and they say, where's the best barbecue? The first five comments are going to be Shotgun Willie's, Shotgun Willie's, and then those will be liked 30, 40 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that constant reiteration of Shotgun Willie's. And I remember my favorite place for brisket. I wasn't a brisket fan, but my favorite place was in the farmer's market. It was called BNC Barbecue.
Okay.
And it closed down, and I was heartbroken. And then when Shotgun Willie's opened, there in Inglewood years ago, I went in and went, wow, but you couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. Like, there was always a line and the location was bad. But when they moved into Nashville, it was like a new day. So Shotgun Willie's has become a standard for me. I do a lot of business meetings there. My real estate clients, literally, I just had clients in Green Hills. They purchased a home that we close here soon in Green Hills. And we met at Shotgun Willie's to start our search. So in real estate, you're going to see a lot of Shotgun Willie's with me.
Yeah. And we've been to Shotgun Willie's, gosh, 100 times at this point. For me, it's definitely up there in the rankings. I remember when I first went to Shotgun Willie's, my first experience there, I walked in the door and I remember the owner, Bill, had just this huge smile on his face.
Such a nice guy.
He's just so warm and friendly and charismatic. And he is the one who is like portioning out. So you go through this line. And their line is always out the door because it's the food is just
amazing. Worth the wait.
And it's so worth the wait. It's so worth the wait. Just make sure you read any signage that may be on the door when you get there so that you're not disappointed, because sometimes they do run out of food because it's so good. But you get into the line and you make your way through, and on your way up to the actual food service counter, you're passing by all of this memorabilia and this art. And there's all kinds of cool things. I mean, it's not just like, you know, painted wall art or pictures. There's like 3D things and sculptures and crafts and things that people have done and dedicated to Willie Nelson that are on the wall, and it's really cool. And you see the menu, and then you get to the actual food service counter, and the first person that you encounter is Bill, the owner. Mm-hmm. And he's standing up on, and he's got this butcher block in front of him, and there are these three or four huge food warmers behind him that are filled to the brim, depending on what time you get there, with wrapped meats. And you tell him what kind of meat you want, and he turns around and grabs the meat, unwraps it, weighs it out, puts it on the table, chops it up right there in front of you, and the whole time he's talking to you and making you feel like you've known this guy your whole life. And that's one of my favorite things about Shotgun Willie's. What's one of your favorite things about it?
Well, it's actually probably a negative. I used to work out at a gym right behind there.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be leaving at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and they would be up opening the grills,
smelling it,
and they wouldn't be open until like 11. I'd be starving, and just the smell that it gives that whole area, just amazing. So you know, and then you know, I look at the simple logistic things. It's easy to park there.
Yep.
It's easy to meet someone there. There's lots of light. You can have a great meeting there. It's always quality. I don't have to worry about it. So for me, it's more of those pieces that I really like about Shotgun Willie's.
Yeah.
So
we've not told the full story of Shotgun Willie's, but we have someone here today who's going to.
Yay.
We're really excited to bring on the show today, Bill, the owner, founder, creator, pit master, and head dishwasher of Shotgun Willie's, Bill. When we come back, we're going to talk to him about the business. We're going to talk to him about the food. And we can't wait for y'all to hear what he has to say. And there's some exciting news as well. So stick around and we'll be right back. All right. So welcome back. We've got Bill LaViolette here with us from Shotgun Willie's. We're really excited to have you here in the studio today. We'd love to talk to you about barbecue, about Shotgun Willie's, about what you've got going on there at Shotgun Willie's. And why don't you introduce yourself to everybody, and we'll ask you some questions here in a little bit as
well. All right. Well, hi, everyone. My name's Bill, and I am the owner and pit master and lead dishwasher at Shotgun Willie's Texas Barbecue here in beautiful Madison, Tennessee.
One of the things I love about it is when we come into Shotgun Willie's, you're there cutting barbecue. You're there, and you're behind this
absolutely.
Counter talking to every person.
Yeah, it's my business. Where else would I be?
Yeah, so you know, how did this evolve? Like when you think about where you started, I first met you at Yeast Nashville,
right? Shoot,
yeah,
several years. We'll just be we'll be kind to both of us.
And when I say Yeast Nashville, that is a bakery, Y-E-A-S-T Nashville.
Yes.
That's where we first met. So tell us about the evolution to Shotgun Willie's.
All right, well, it really goes. If you want the deep story, it goes all the way back to a very contentious exit interview that I had at a job in Houston probably in 2002 or 2003, where I was leaving to go to a new job, and the HR person, who was relatively new, did not know me that well, and asked a question to me of, if you could do anything in the world, what would you do? And I said, well, shoot, I just sell barbecue by the side of the road. And she thought I was being really flippant with the answer. And she goes, well, you know, if you stop being a clown and really put your mind to something, you might make something of yourself in the world. And
yikes.
Yeah. So I wish I remembered her name and I could kind of go back and tell her what's happened, because now I'm selling barbecue by the side of the road.
And there's a great CeeLo Green song about that.
Right. You know, forget exactly.
You, we'll call it that. Yeah, exactly.
So that's really where it began. And it really, in all honesty, it was about a 1,000-mile dream. It was, if I could do anything in the world, if money was no object, flabbity flu, what would I do? And it's like, oh, well, I'd just pop up and cook barbecue all day. Because I was cooking barbecue in my backyard and really enjoyed it. So fast forward to around the time that I opened the bakery, and we were doing kolaches, which are
so good,
which are a Texas, an Eastern European pastry with a Texas twist on them. And one of the kolaches that we were making at the time was a brisket kolache with brisket that I was making, and I was getting a lot of positive feedback and had never cooked this professionally and just was doing it. And everybody's like, man, this is really good. And I was like, oh, I might be onto something here. Well, as things turn out, I went through a marital transition and got fired from my job and my marriage and was kind of at a life crossroads. So decided that, well, now is the time to go into the barbecue business. And I wish no one to ever go through a painful divorce and the loss of a business, but I will give you a little bit of advice. Do not open a business literally in the flames of a divorce within weeks of getting notified. I should have taken some time off. But anyway, long story short, that's kind of the what pretty much was the catalyst to get this going. So later, that was 2016. Later in 2016, this opened up as a barbecue food truck. And sadly, shut it down about May of 2017. Because it just was not doing the revenue in it that it should do to with the amount of work that we were putting into it. It just wasn't going anywhere. And so I shut it down. And that was a tough decision, because within 18 months, I'd lost two businesses and a marriage. And thankfully, I'd met a sweet lady that we had started dating, who's now my wife, who at that time just believed in me and said, I think you're onto something. Hang in there. And I kind of what kept me going was I'd shut that trailer down in May of 17. Mm-hmm. And we won a Best of Nashville, which was basically a eulogy to the truck in October of that year.
Wow.
Which really told me, excuse me, that we're onto something. That I was onto something. I was doing the right thing, not the right way. So as I say, I kind of wandered the wilderness for 2 years trying to figure it all out.
And then how did you end up at the Inglewood 37216, that red building? Was that your first?
That was the first brick and mortar. So I lived pretty much right behind that space. It used to be a little produce store. It became vacant. My wife had come home one day and goes, you need to go look at that space at the end of our street. And at the time, I knew it was too small, but I needed to get going again. So signed a lease in there. And by the time everything was, this was April of 19, by the time everything was ready to go and open, it was May of 2020. And I don't know if all you guys remember what happened in May of 2020, but the entire world shut down.
Right.
So, and I was literally out of money. I had told my wife, I was like, we've got to open. We cannot sustain. We've done all this build out. We've spent all this money. We have no more money left. We have to open. So in 2020, I essentially opened as what I called a walk-in food truck. And we have been doing it ever since. In March of 2022, we kind of saw a nice turn for our business. And it's been pretty much snowballing ever since. The beautiful thing about where we... And then in May of 24, we moved into our new location. And the beautiful thing about, one, the pandemic, but my three takeaways from the pandemic were, I never missed a payroll, I never bounced a check, and I didn't lay off one employee.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we survived the pandemic. I won't even go back and look at the numbers. the barbecue gods took care of us and here we are. But the beautiful thing about where we have moved into now in Madison, which is 3.5 times larger.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful facility.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's 3.5 times larger than the original location and was never, I never anticipated to open a restaurant that big, but we had to move. We moved out of demand. Yeah. Now, I say we moved out of demand, not desire. So it's not like we pushed all our chips on the table and said, well, let's see what happens. It was literally, if we don't move, we are going to start to lose business.
Yeah, because let's talk about that demand. Because I remember my first time driving up to the Red Building there
right.
on Gallatin Pike in Englewood. I was taking my son to Camp Widgiewagon and we stopped for a quick meal. And the line was out the door. There was no parking whatsoever. But then we became addicted to it. But we had, it's like, do we go there and park? What do we do? And then now you're at the corner of Gallison Pike and Ellington in Browley Parkway. Mm-hmm. There in the front of the East Side Bowl.
Correct.
There's a strip piece there that's got two other restaurants there.
Correct.
And so when you go there on, just so for those of you who haven't been there yet, but you're going to go, when you show up and drive up there, you'll open at like 11 o'clock. There will be a line that usually starts forming around 10:45. And then you close that day at 2:30?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Or when you run out.
So this is a big question I always get when I have friends come to town. Because there was one day we were sitting there, and we had gotten in there at 11:30. We got our food. We sat down. And then all these Airbnb people start walking up with their suitcases, and there's a sign on the door that says, we're out of food.
Yeah.
And people don't understand why. So let's talk about that demand.
Sure, absolutely.
And why you're open certain days and why you're out when you're out. Because the question is always like, why don't you make more food? There's a reason why.
Sure. And that, yeah. So one, from an economic standpoint, I have told people since we opened, the reason we sell out benefits you in the long run.
Yep.
At the end of the day, because we are not selling leftover food. Mm-hmm. You are not getting reheated food. You're getting freshly cooked food every single day. So growing up in Texas, I moved to Nashville in 2008, grew up in Houston. Barbecue is generally a lunch food.
Right.
And so there always have been dinner barbecue restaurants, so to speak, in Texas. But generally, because barbecue in Texas stems out of meat markets, and meat markets were basically making barbecue to sell food that was about to expire. So they would cook whatever they had and kind of sell it in the grocery store. So to me, in my DNA, in my hardwiring, barbecue is what we eat for lunch. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we only go from 11 to 3, and then that's why we tend to sell out, because I don't want to cook too much and have and lose money in the process, but it's also a guarantee to you that you're getting our best every single day.
Right.
And so one of the problems that, I felt like there's some differences, I think, between say Southeastern barbecue and Texas barbecue and maybe even barbecue in Nashville. Uh-huh. And I might feel some repercussions for what I'm about to say, but the 5 years of experience I've had, it pretty much is what it is. Barbecue to me is not a commodity. I am not a commodity barbecue business. I am not in the business, or never will be in the business, of just shoveling food out the door. So I've always said, let's just say if things get really great for us and we have the demand for 50 briskets on a Saturday, but we can only do 30 that I think are quality, mm-hmm. then we're only going to cook 30. I'd rather sell less that's better than more that's average.
Yeah.
Right. And so I understand the frustration at times with it, especially when we first opened, because when you think about back then, I'm dealing with insane meat prices for starters, and I'm also dealing with a pandemic. And the hardest part of my job remains to this day is guessing how hungry people are going to be tomorrow. It is not an exact science.
Right.
So we could just use a Wednesday. We'll just take a random Wednesday. There could be a random Wednesday where I cook pretty much the same. We have pretty much pars that we've more or less figured out that I could cook that par. And for some odd reason, we sell out at 2 o'clock on that Wednesday. I'm like, oh, holy crap. We sold out early. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cook a little extra for next week. And then I cook a little extra next week. and I've got three briskets left and pork shoulder. Yeah. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Last week we sold out at two, and then this week I can't give it away. Mm-hmm. So it is not an exact science, but what I say to anyone who finds it a little frustrating, one, I get it, but I'd rather give you my best than just throw something on your plate so you can say that you came by. And the hardest thing for us at the original location was there was no alternative that was within walking distance for lunch. So when I saw the Uber pull up with the people getting luggage out of the back, mm-hmm. and it's 2 o'clock, and I'm like, you've already spent $25 getting here, and now you can't walk somewhere to get food. It hit me. Like, I felt it. The nice thing about where we are now is there are two alternatives, right next door to me that people...
Very diverse alternatives.
Right, so... You're not necessarily SOL.
Well, Eastside Bowl has a cafe too.
Right.
So,
you're still the best out of those three.
Well, look, I'll leave that up to you guys.
Well, they're very happy to have you next door. Because right. You see people go next door because it's like the line's long or they're out of food. So.
Yeah. And or it's a Monday or a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they walk up. The hardest part of my...
You're like Chick-fil-A on Sundays.
Yeah.
There's nothing more disappointing than driving up going, I want barbecue. Look,
the hardest part of my week... Our Tuesday afternoons at 11:30 when I'm unloading my... I go to Sam's on Tuesdays. Okay. And when I'm unloading the truck at 11:30 and I sit there and watch a steady stream of people walk up to the door and pull on that door. And then I just see all the life go out of them. They're like, mm-hmm.
I've done it before.
So the beauty of what it is now is the hot dog restaurant, Daddy's, is open 7 days a week. Vegas closed on Sundays and Mondays, and we're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. So the beautiful thing about it is somebody is always there for you.
Yeah.
And it's good for me because 5 years ago, if two restaurants would have opened up next door to me, I probably would have had a stroke. I would have lost my mind.
Yeah.
Now, especially with who they are as neighbors, independent, mm-hmm. I love our little clique of businesses. We are so diverse as far as what we offer and price points and options as far as if we're done, you can still go next door. And I think we all, no pun intended, feed off of each other and benefit. We all benefit from all of us being next door to each other.
Yeah.
It helps grow all of our businesses. And I like that part of it.
So that's got to be something that you're pretty proud of. I'm curious, though, where the name Shotgun Willie's came from. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can talk a lot about that,
okay,
actually.
Sure.
So the Shotgun Willie's is kind of like a threefold solution to name my business. The first one and the biggest one literally is I do not have an ego large enough to name a restaurant directly after me. Let's just start there. So Bill, Willie. Okay, that kind of solved the problem. The second one is being from Texas, Willie Nelson has been a part of my life literally as long as I can remember. Willie Nelson music, just Willie Nelson as a person. I look up to Willie Nelson tremendously, just how he's lived his life. I'm not necessarily comparing myself to Willie Nelson. However, it seems like Willie really didn't get his notoriety and the really bump that Willie Nelson to become Willie Nelson as we know him till he was 40 years old. And I got into this game really late in life. I didn't start off in my 20s or whatever. You know, I didn't even open Shotgun Willie's, I think, until I was 48. So I kind of use him as like a role model. And lastly, Shotgun Willie's is one of my favorite Willie Nelson songs. It's not my favorite one. I Gotta Get Drunk is my favorite Willie Nelson song. And I just felt I Gotta Get Drunk barbecue wasn't necessarily the right way to go. So it kind of covers all three of those those bases and works in pretty well. And then obviously being Texas barbecue.
Sure,
and Willie Nelson,
sure. So what is the thing about your business and about what you do that brings you the most pride, the thing that you're most proud of when you talk to people about what you do?
Being able to feed my neighbors. I live in this neighborhood. I have lived in this neighborhood since 2008. I never wanted to open up a business anywhere else but my neighborhood. When it came time to look for places to open, I literally limited my search to 2 miles from my front door. Mm-hmm. And I'm not anti anywhere else in Nashville. You drive from anywhere to come have lunch with me, and I'm happy you're there.
You can tell. Yeah.
But the real reason and the beauty of this is the same people, a good chunk of the people that I feed on a regular basis, I'm going to bump into at the grocery store,
yep.
at a concert, doing other things in my neighborhood. And I get to live the life that I do, and I get to spend the money, go out and buy a record, go on a trip or whatever, because my neighbors are facilitating that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not lose the impact of that. They are giving me this crazy life that I never really intended or thought I could ever have. I'm living the best life I ever could have imagined. And it's only or primarily because my neighbors did not want to see me fail and want to see me go away. I had customers come in during the pandemic and tell me straight up, we don't eat a lot of barbecue, but we want to make sure you don't go anywhere. So we'll try to get here as often as we can. And that does make that truly makes a difference. So being a steward of the community in a way, or being a representation of my neighborhood, that I just love that kind of connection. And I'm very, very lucky as a result.
Yeah, you're a standard here. I mean, we know you. When we walk in the door, you talk to every single person, and everybody's going to get that love. And speaking of that love, you kind of teased me before we came in that there was some news you're going to be sharing with us today that's not been shared yet.
Yes, I will share this. This will be the first time I have said this publicly. I'm going to look straight into the camera. Shock and Willie's will be receiving some sort of recognition from the Michelin Guide.
Oh my gosh.
So wow. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Congratulations.
You're telling me. Like,
that's incredible.
Zach is like red right now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's beyond comprehension. It still has not fully sunk into me. I have never done this or went out on this to get accolades.
Yeah.
When I was sitting down in the flames of my divorce, wondering what I was going to do, and kind of, I just had a journal and I was writing out my vision for this thing, because literally what it was, this idea that was called Shotgun Willie's Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I wrote in that journal was recognition from Texas Monthly Magazine as a good barbecue restaurant. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because to me, Texas Monthly is the gold standard. Yeah. And I tell folks all the time, we don't cook and we don't operate to be good enough for Nashville. My mindset is, if I were to lift this up and move it back to Houston, would it be a legitimate Texas barbecue restaurant? So when Daniel Vaughn wrote the article about us and put us on his list, I think a year and a half ago, of one of the top, he's the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly Magazine. And they put out an issue every 3 years, I think, of the top 50 barbecue restaurants in Texas, which is a huge deal.
Yeah.
I understand if people in anywhere outside of Texas do not understand how big this is. Up until the email I got the other day, to get on this list in Texas is the equivalent of the Michelin Guide or James Beard Award.
Yeah. I mean,
and so when we wound up on that list, I was like, that's it. Just put this on my mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing what we're doing. Do what we did to get to this point. Don't stop. And that, hooray, yay for us. Getting any kind of national or global-esque recognition or regional recognition by a global company was never on my radar, for one. Why would the Michelin Guide come to our restaurant? Yeah, we're just a little
right.
barbecue shop in Madison, Tennessee.
Yeah.
So all of that to be said, here we are. And I think I can pretty much confidently say we are the first restaurant ever in Madison to be recognized as a Michelin
that's amazing.
Rated restaurant. So
it's amazing. Well, you know, you've talked a lot about the business, and you've earned these accolades that you're getting. Not just here in Tennessee, but soon, you know, globally. You've definitely earned it. We love you. We love the food. When we come back, we're going to talk more about food and the barbecue.
Okay, absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right.
Cool. So we'll come back and we'll just talk meats and meat sweats. And
okay, I'm going to do a little side note because it's not me that won the award.
Okay.
We won the award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There, because the reason I said that, and I say this a lot too, I tried to do this by myself and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've got the best people in front of me being customers, and I have the best people behind me.
Yeah.
And without, and maybe I should, and I'm not chastising.
Oh, no.
But I really feel like any accolade that I get is not, I'm almost the idiot that didn't drive the car off the road.
That's crazy.
But I'm just like, I couldn't be, none of this would exist. I have the best staff.
Yeah.
Hands down. Everyone who works for us has been with us over a year.
Yeah. They love it.
And that is a unicorn in the restaurant.
It is. It is.
So when we come back, so he's in the segment also, but yeah, I see that last little notes.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see that there, but I thought it would just be good to shift because we've talked a lot about the business side of things.
Yeah, sorry.
So no, that's good. That's
so
good.
We're adding like another segment.
Yeah.
And then we'll take another break and then we'll go into our debates after that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Where in Englewood were you on that?
Yeah, let's get going on this and we'll talk a little
bit. Yeah, absolutely.
That. Okay, so let's.
Doesn't matter now.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the business. Now I want to hear from you. What makes good barbecue?
Wow. Oh, boy. What makes good barbecue?
I know there's probably going to be some controversy in there.
And I'll honestly, love, and I'll tell you why I believe that in a second. Love and attention. Because, especially when it comes to brisket, it's not hard to do it, but it's not easy to do it. And I really got better as a brisket cook when I slowed myself down and let the brisket will tell you when it's done.
Mm.
And I just relaxed. And when it's one of the coolest things in this journey about, this is also as much as a business journey, it's a personal journey. I've discovered a lot about myself in this process because going into this, prior to this, I was always kind of like a ramped up person. Go, got to get things done now. Where barbecue, by design, slows me down. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is an incredible, and I am so sorry about that.
your phone is going off? Is
my
that your phone?
My phone is silent. Hold on.
That's funny.
The barbecue's calling.
You have an emergency.
My sweet lady. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, they always get to come
all
through.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me go back to, because I was pumped.
Speaking of the love, you were talking about the love.
Yeah, so we're talking about the love. So the beautiful thing that barbecue did was it forces me to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's really what makes good barbecue. You have to slow down and let the process unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And when you let go and you really don't overthink it, that's when the magic happens. Now, I said love was a crucial component into this. So my now wife, then girlfriend, when I wouldn't sell out at the trailer, I would bring leftover food home. And she would take one bite and she would go, "How did you feel when you cooked this?"
Mm.
And if I would give her the answer. And if it was, "Man, I was in 10 different places. I was really aggravated today. Blah, blah, blah." She goes, "I can taste it in your food.
Huh.
I can tell when you're I can taste when you're in a good mood, and I can taste when you're not in the right spot for this."
Interesting.
And I think it's an attention to detail thing and whatnot. So I really think, like I said, the biggest thing about barbecue, and I think really what separates us, I will go out on a limb and say this, I think the one thing that truly separates us from everybody else, and prove me wrong, other barbecues, we care about what goes on that plate, period. We will not serve a bad plate of food. And if I do, please let me know. I'll give you your money back. But everybody in that restaurant has the ability to not serve something that they literally wouldn't sit down and eat. Mm-hmm. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to question what it is. If you don't like it, you don't serve it.
Yeah.
If you pull it out of the oven and it doesn't look right, then it doesn't go on the line. Mm-hmm. And
you can just tell a difference in your quality. And when we're talking about the food specifically here, I want us to talk a little bit about what we love.
Okay.
And we will put some love on you while we're sitting here. So Zach will tell you what his favorite thing is.
All right,
and I will talk on behalf of our entire family. So I will first go in, because we talked earlier in the episode when you weren't here, about banana pudding.
Oh, yeah.
My son, Micah, who is 14 years old,
right,
lives and dies by your banana pudding. Unfortunately, he may have a little bit of a bourbon addiction when he's in the future.
I was really getting nervous.
He absolutely. And his whole thing is this is our joke, he may die, so he eats the banana pudding first. Because right, if he doesn't absolutely make it to his barbecue sandwich, at least he's had his banana pudding. So on behalf of my son, thank you for the banana pudding.
You're welcome.
On behalf of my daughter, there's your phone again. On behalf of my daughter, I thank you for the macaroni and cheese.
Your
macaroni and cheese is a slice of heaven. It's amazing. And yeah, on behalf of my spouse, I want to thank you for the ribs. Those ribs are just simply amazing. I'm going to share my favorite thing after Zach shares his favorite thing. But Zach, what do you thank him for?
Pulled pork.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm a pulled pork guy.
Well, hold on. Thank you for all your accolades.
Uh-huh. Mine's coming.
Glad your son feels that way about the banana pudding, because I feel the same way about it too. Now, thank you for your accolades on the pulled pork. Yeah. Are you from Tennessee?
No, I'm not. I'm actually from the Delta, from down south of
Arkansas. Okay, but you're pork centric.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, because we are Texas barbecue.
Uh-huh.
We specialize in brisket.
Brisket, right.
I didn't even start cooking pork shoulder until I moved to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I want to make sure that pork shoulder is as good or on the same level as our brisket. Mm-hmm. Because I have an obligation to anybody who grew up in the South. And maybe I want everyone to try brisket. But I know that some people just have had bad experiences with it or whatever. Or maybe pork is just their favorite thing. Which is fine. But that being said, I have a commitment and an obligation to make the pork as good and with the same amount of detail and care as I would the brisket.
Yeah.
Because you may come in and never get the brisket.
Yep.
And I want you to be like, chocolate lily is the best pork I ever had.
Uh-huh.
And thank you for saying that. Yeah. I love it when people who are from the South and the Southeast sing the praises of our pulled pork.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up eating barbecue and pulled pork sandwiches from the time I was a little kid. It was a part of my life. And, you know, I've had all of the barbecue here in town, all of it. And yours is really probably the favorite that I have, the pulled pork.
It's just so good.
So good.
And I love the fact that you said barbecue, because it's funny. And that's one of the things I had to get used to when we first opened, when people would order a barbecue sandwich. I was like, well, do you want brisket or pork? And then, they're talking about pork.
It's a general statement.
Because where I'm from, barbecue's a verb. It's how you cook the meat. And here, barbecue's a noun.
Right.
It's another word for pulled pork. So.
And so, of course, my thank you, when there used to be a place in the farmer's market that closed down that, in my opinion, had the best brisket in the world. And when I walked in there and it was closed one day, I about cried.
Right.
And so I've searched and searched and searched for brisket, because I wasn't a brisket fan at all.
Sure.
It had the first brisket I ever liked. And I was like, it's over. I could never have brisket ever again in my life. And I walked in and had your brisket. And I was like, the heavens open and the music started playing and I had brisket again. And now I'm probably going to say something that's going to get us boycotted. But, you know, people always talk about great briskets, and they're talking about, you know, Bucky's has the best brisket in the world. I can't eat brisket besides yours anymore.
Well, no one should eat Bucky's brisket.
I agree. And people, but even I go to, there was a place in California we went, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
That had really good brisket.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh my gosh, this is like Shotgun Willie's, but it's in California. So thank you for bringing great brisket back to Nashville once that farmer's marketplace left. So that's my thank you and love for you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. You're very welcome.
And as we
glad to be of service.
And as we finished up this segment, you said something very vital in this, and you said sometimes you can't give it away because you have too much. When it's time, those days, you now have my mobile number.
Right.
Call me and I will pay you. I will pay you for your leftovers, and we will enjoy them, and we won't tell anyone when we serve it the next day at our house that it's leftovers.
Oh, look, I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't suck the next day.
No, it doesn't.
Because trust me, I've eaten my fair share of it. So
if you want to go to Shotgun Willie's, please go. Your address is?
Yeah. We are at 1500 Gallatin Pike South.
And right in front of Eastside Bowl, go over there. We gave you the hours earlier. Go early, get the food early, take friends over. There's plenty of places to sit. And Bill sit and talk to you. That's the joy. You have a friend there.
And one of the most unique things about Shotgun Willie's is we are the only, I'm going to say we're the only restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee with a mechanical bull.
It is. And on that note, we'll ride on out of here to break.
Thanks,
really
Bill.
Appreciate you guys having me in today. Thank you so very much.
Yeah.
It was so nice to have Bill here today.
Such an awesome guy.
And he brought his t-shirts.
He did. He brought his t-shirts.
You can't see the back, but yeah.
And brought us some exclusive details that we get to hopefully share out soon.
When I was walking out the door, Greg was like, do you think he'll bring you food? I was like, I don't think so. No. But man, that'd have been nice. But yeah, the things he shared with us was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him. I cannot believe it all happened.
Yeah,
so.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah. So, you know, now it's time for the real question of debate, you know, is ribs or brisket?
Ribs or brisket?
Ribs or brisket for you?
Gosh, you know, it seems like an impossible question, but for me, it's really not because I'm just not a brisket fan. Yeah. I'll take ribs over brisket any day of the week. I'll take just about any smoked or barbecued meat over brisket because I'm just not a brisket fan. For you, it's the exact opposite, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's where I'm at. I'll usually take brisket, but if there's ribs like from Calhoun's, I'll absolutely take it. And on that, we'll talk about the Nashville Rathers.
It's time for Nashville Rathers. I actually have one for you.
Okay.
And I am, I think this will be something that will be difficult for you.
Okay.
So if you could have, you have to choose between these two. You can only eat brisket once a year, and it's Shotgun Willie's brisket.
Okay.
Or you can never eat brisket anywhere ever again, but you can have all the other kinds of barbecue that you want. What would you do?
I can never eat brisket again, ever in my life, from anywhere. I'd have to say goodbye to brisket.
Yeah.
I mean, I love, for me, it's also a health piece because when you're watching what you eat, to be able to have some smoked turkey, to be able to have some rotisserie barbecue chicken, to be able to have that pulled pork, that on the leaner side, your leaner brisket. For me, it's a health piece. So while I want to say brisket from Shotgun Willie's, I would have to take everything else just because of that big menu.
So let's take it a step further.
Okay.
I know you love brisket.
Okay.
And I know you love banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick between the two, what would it be?
Okay. And this, you know, this is like, tell me to pick between you, Esther, or Micah.
Yeah.
Because I love all three of you very much. But if I have to throw one off the cliff, if I'm having to hold
it's
one
me. Of them.
You're the first.
I'm getting thrown. I've lived enough life.
Hey, Esther, you stay.
Right.
Esther's the one who'd probably survive the fall.
Right.
She'd be like, that didn't hurt. Bring it on.
She'd open her sweatpants up and she'd float down to the bottom.
A little flying squirrel. So probably let Esther go, you know, because she'd be like, I can survive anything.
Yeah.
We always said that if we had to set one of our children free in the wild, it would be Esther because she's a survivor. But we really went off topic on that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to decide, but bye-bye brisket.
Wow.
Absolutely. I will, the fat boy inside of me will come out and I will belly up to the bar and eat banana pudding all day long.
Wow.
I love banana pudding. If you were to tell, my mama said, there's two things if I were to die before she does, it's so morbid, she goes, I could never eat again, and that's Cocoa Pebbles and banana pudding. She said, I would just sit there and bawl my eyes out. So that's the Nashville Rather. It's going to be absolutely. We're going to keep all the other barbecue and I'm going to have my banana pudding. So
awesome. Awesome. I do have a quick question for you. Would you be interested in cooking your own barbecue? Is that something that you've done, or would you ever be interested in doing it?
As Bill said, it's patience. And I prayed for patience years ago, and God gave it to me, but he didn't give me that much patience.
Yeah, and he didn't give it to you fast enough.
No. We have, exactly. Hateful. We have the big green egg at our house, and I don't know. Not my thing.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience for it. Give me a nice, quick pan fry, and I'm good.
Yeah, Dad makes some really good barbecue.
He does. Absolutely. He's patient, though.
Well, you know, today was all about the food that we love, which is barbecue, the people who make it worth lining up for. And we're not barbecue experts, obviously. We're just fans who know when something is good, and Shotgun Willie's hits that mark every single time.
Yeah, it's one of those places that lets you know that, as he said, when you love something, the love shows through. And he must love it every day, because every day I taste the same food when we've eaten there. So it's just so nice.
Yeah. So tell us your favorite barbecue places here in town. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us your favorite barbecue sides. Chime in on the debate. Are you creamy coleslaw, or are you vinegar coleslaw?
Or no coleslaw.
Are you a sauce person, or is the sauce not necessary? We'd love to hear from you.
Rubs. We didn't talk about rubs.
Yeah, we didn't talk about rubs. Yeah. That's another important one.
So y'all talk about it.
Yeah. So be sure and like this podcast. Share this podcast with your friends and your family, with your coworkers, with your neighbors, anybody that you feel would enjoy listening to this, which we think would be everybody. So, yeah, we'll see you next time here on Nashville and Beyond. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kennerson, MLS number 171733 with Lindingham Mortgage, is the executive producer. Engineer, Mike Reeves. Music, Dusty Boots by Ecoleaks. Nashville and Beyond, copyright 2025.